Hey, ECHL fans, I would say you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. However, this is our last episode of this season, but you can catch all of our recent last 21 episodes, including this new one, on all those platforms. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Level, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your ECHL Ice Level hosts.
We'll have a new episode every Thursday throughout the week, but not anymore, because this is officially, I believe, Joe, our last episode. We've been missing for a few weeks now. She's been super busy with playoff run, but we are back this week with Conlon Keenan. Super excited to have him on.
Yep. Got a little refresh here the last few weeks. As you said, it's a busy time of year for players and everyone else. The final weekend of the regular season is here. Some great playoff races in the Mountain Division, especially where there's four teams battling for three spots. South Carolina looking like trying to hold off Florida to win the South Division. A good race in the Central Division as well. So some, and in the North Division with Worcester and Reading playing head to head this weekend. So a lot of great games this weekend. If you're not going to in person, you can check out on Flow Hockey. And then next week the playoffs get underway, and it's a fun time of year for sure.
Yep, looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and hop in with Keenan.
All right, Conlon, we thank you for taking some time to join us on today's episode of the ECHL Ice Level Podcast. Hard as it is to believe, here we are. It's the first full week of April, and the playoffs are getting ready to get started here in about a week or 10 days. I know for us on the office staff, it always seems like the season goes fast every year. Does it feel the same for the players? Hard to believe that it's already playoff time?
Yeah, it does. You know, it just seems like yesterday we were reporting for camp, and you know, meeting everyone for the first time, all the new guys, and seeing all old teammates from previous years come back. So, but yeah, I mean, it flies by, and it's just, you know, time flies when you're having fun, right?
So you guys have obviously clinched the division already, and you're sitting at fifth right now going into this week of games. So how do you feel individually? And then also, how is the team feeling going into this playoff?
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time for both myself and, you know, the team as a whole. You know, we want to bring a championship to Toledo. That's our main goal at the beginning of the year. And it's taking the little steps to get to those and put ourselves in position for that. Yeah, everyone's excited. You know, we just last two regular season games coming up this week. And then, you know, we flip to the playoff season, you know, when it really starts. And I think everyone's excited. They have that little fire to them in our team to, you know, hope, you know, get the job done this season and, you know, take it series by series, but ultimately bring a championship to Toledo.
So going back the past 2 years, you guys obviously came short in the conference finals. So is there anything different that as a team, you know, you guys are focusing on that might be a different mindset shift from the past few years here?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we just, as I said, we try and focus on series by series. And, you know, it's hard to win a championship. We all know that and how much hard work it takes. And I think, you know, just focusing on right now in the division and then, you know, making to those conference finals and getting over the hump and then to the finals. But really just, you know, our team really focuses on, you know, each individual game. You know, we can't bypass any teams. Every team is good in this league. So we can't overlook anything like that, but just focus on the first series and then, and going from there. You know, ultimately the first playoff game is going to be huge, and, you know, we're going to be ready to go and, just focus on that and try and take care of business there.
You're serving as an alternate captain for the Walleye this season. Back in your college days, you were both a captain and an alternate captain. So how does it make you feel personally, over the years to have that recognition and trust from your coaches and teammates, to serve as part of the leadership group on the teams you've been a part of?
Yeah, it's a huge honor, you know, especially to be, you know, leading here in Toledo. And we have a great leadership group. You know, it's not just the guys who wear the letters. It's, you know, the whole team. Everyone has a leadership role within itself, and just our camaraderie within our team. You know, everyone on this team has been a leader at some point in their life. But ultimately, it's just all of us gelling together and, you know, kind of leading as a whole group. It's not just one individual player. It's all of us together, you know, leading the pack. And, you know, everyone talks and gives their input in different things and different scenarios. And, you know, we have a great group. that everyone knows what the ultimate goal is. No one's pulling the rope the other way, and we all know what it takes to get it done. And you know, it's our team as a whole, just collectively leading and knowing what we need to do as a team and individuals, knowing their roles and things like that. So it makes leading easy for when you have such a great group.
Are you more of a vocal type leader, or do you let your actions speak for themselves and let others follow you as how you act on the ice and in the locker room?
I would say I'm a little of both. You know, I like to be in game. You know, I'm very vocal and things like that on the bench. But you know, I like to, you know, show my actions, you know, on the ice, you know, trying to be the hardest worker out there. And, you know, I learned from captains in the past that, you know, John Albert and TJ Hensick and those guys, that, you know, they really try and lay it out there, and, you know, let other guys follow. So it's just doing that, but I like to be vocal as well. I like to talk a lot, and, you know, not just in the game, but in the locker room itself and, you know, in practice, and just bring the whole group together. I love the camaraderie that and the culture that our team has, and, you know, gearing up for these playoffs and things like that. It's, I think it goes a long way when you have a tight group and things like that.
So going back from before your time, obviously with the ECHL and professional, you stayed in the state of New York to play juniors and then college. So was that something that was intentional after high school, or did things kind of just fall in place that way?
Things just kind of fell into place. You know, I was, you know, I played juniors in Rochester, and then, you know, played in New Jersey for one season. And then, you know, going back, you know, I was close to home, so my dad can come watch, my sister, watch college. And then, you know, eventually going back to pro, or going to pro, you know, during the COVID year, we didn't play, Toledo didn't play. I was originally signed with them, and I was all the way out in Oklahoma. So that was a big jump for me. You know, it was a 18-hour car ride, that I remember, you know, going to play my first professional game. But, you know, it's always cool for me to play close to home where my family could come watch. And Toledo's only 6 hours from where I am in Rochester. So, but yeah, things just kind of fell into place, and it was cool to, you know, stay within New York to play college.
Walk us through a little bit more of, you know, your time specifically, maybe at college or in juniors, you know, some of the moments that shaped you maybe into the player that you are today, or some of just your best memories.
Yeah, I think, you know, in juniors, when I was in New Jersey, that was kind of the first time I left home when I was younger to go play. And so I was living with the Billet family, and we were able to win the championship there. So I think that was like my first taste of like winning a championship and what it takes. And then I had great coaches there, and then going on to college, the same thing, you know, it's a big jump from juniors to college, and we had great leaders, and a great team there. And we were able to win, you know, three league championships when I was in college. And, you know, you keep getting that taste of winning championships like that and being on such a good cultured team. I think that's really stuck with me the whole time while playing, you know, juniors and college, is that like how close your group is really, it translates to the ice, you know, 'cause you're willing to go to war for the guy sitting next to you. And, you know, getting those tastes and then coming to pro, and here in Toledo, it's like the same thing. It was the culture, you know, every group was so tight, and we just always wanted to be around each other and do things with each other. And, you know, that translated to the ice. It was something as simple as going to lunch, you know, once a week, we'd all try and go to lunch, and just, you get to know guys on a deeper level. And that, you know, you get to hear their story and things that they've done. And then it just translates to the ice that much better.
We've had several players join us this year on the podcast who also played D3 college hockey like you did at SUNY Geneseo. And it seems like every year we see more and more players from D3 coming into the ECHL and making an impact. So as an alum, does that make you feel proud to see that? And what does that say to the level of play that D3 is developing here over the last several years?
Yeah, it's always great to see. You know, it's obviously not Division I, so it's much harder to get to pro that way. But I think it just shows, you know, the hard work, and you know, you look back at the hard work it takes to get to pro. And but when I was at Geneseo, we had such a great coaching staff and ice availability and things to grow my game within hockey, that it made it, you know, Just a great translation for my hockey game, both on and off the ice, in order to get the opportunity to play professionally. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you play Division III, it is hard. It is hard to go professional, you know. You know, that's where I kind of look back at my roots of like how hard I worked in order to get this opportunity and then take this opportunity and run with it. But it's always cool to see, you know, new Division III players coming in. The growth of the game is growing tremendously within Division III, especially with what's happening all with Division I, with the CHL being able to come now. I think that you can only grow the game within Division III.
Did you ever think that you had like a professional path, or was that something that, you know, kind of just grew over time and you were like, okay, this is happening?
Yeah, no, I didn't. You know, it's funny enough, I actually was my senior year of college, I was looking to go into like either a fireman or a police officer. So I was doing all those tests, you know, background investigate, everything, just because I didn't know what the future was going to hold professionally. And it was kind of funny. Wadi called me, and you know, I was like, wow, I actually do have this opportunity to go play. And I put everything on halt and was like, I have to take this once in a lifetime opportunity. And you know, 5 years later, you know, I'm still playing. And so it is cool to look back on. But yeah, I didn't really think much of where I was gonna be able to go. I wanted to go professional, but I didn't know what routes I was gonna have to go professionally. And so, yeah, I was looking at other career paths and things like that before I got the call from Wadi and we talked to come here to Toledo.
Right. Awesome. Okay, well, we're going to move in here. We have some kind of fun rapid fire questions we're going to go through with you. Joey, right. Can you start off here?
All right. Now, discounting Toledo, because we know obviously the Huntington Center is probably your favorite arena to play in. Yeah. Your favorite and least favorite team or arena to play against or in?
Least favorite is Fort Wayne, and favorite would probably be either Florida or Idaho.
Okay. If you could choose any player in the ECHL that's not on your team to be on your line and then also in the net, who would it be?
Well, I probably have to take a roster kid, Jack Dugan from Fort Wayne, train with him in the summer. So, yeah, I think he's great at passing, just a great player all around. So, yeah, I would say Jack Dugan.
What about in net?
Cam Johnson, right? He's probably one of the only goalies I know just playing against him, and he's obviously done tremendous down in Florida.
Was there a specific game, and it can be at any level, pros, college, juniors, that you consider to be a turning point in your career?
A specific game that's a turning point.
Or it could be like a moment or, you know, just like a memory you have that was key to you getting to where you are today.
I think in juniors, winning that first championship, getting that taste of what winning feels like. You know, obviously winning championships in college. But I'd say, yeah, winning that first championship is like, wow, this is the hard work it takes, but also the reward that you get for working that hard.
What's been one or two of your most memorable moments with the Walleye? I know you've been there a few years, so there's probably a few different contenders.
Let's see. Well, I think my first year, probably making it to the finals, you know, just seeing the city all come together. You know, we were that close. It sucked losing, but seeing how close the city came and supported us in the finals, I would say that. And probably Hawk scoring all these goals. You know, all he does is score goals. And, you know, I'm going to hear from the guys about mentioning Hawks and these records. But, no, he's a tremendous player. And just seeing his name go up on all these boards of all these records he's broken, it's a pretty cool moment to see all that stuff shape.
You know, that's the player that most of the people we have on the podcast say that they would want on his line, Hawk.
Yeah, I don't want Hawks on my line.
When you're done with your playing career, where do you see your career path going? Do you want to stay in hockey? Or I know you'd said you had done some training beforehand for police fire. Do you want to go back along that route?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't have a specific thing right now of like I'm set in stone of that. You know, I like to keep my options open, as I say, but my dad's a firefighter, so I've always, you know, grew up in that, and it's such a cool and rewarding job that he does, and I see, you know, how happy and how much he loves his job, and I love helping people as well. So that's always been my thing of like civil service, of doing firefighter police work like that. But you know, my best friend from back home, he's a financial advisor, and he's always getting me to, you know, come aboard with him, which would be pretty cool to work alongside him. And, you know, we've been best friends for 22 years now. Yeah, I like to keep my options open. See, I don't know where it's going to take me after hockey.
Lots of career options out there.
Yeah.
What does your ideal off day look like? No practice, no game.
Ideal off day. Well, when it's nice weather, definitely golfing. You know, maybe just going to the dry range or playing a few holes. When it's snowing here in Toledo, definitely watching Netflix, watching the Golf Channel, which I have on right now. I love watching golf. You know, that's, you know, whether it's napping and stuff like that. You know, a few of us like to go to lunch and things like that, or just go bounce around different guys' apartments and just catching up with them.
All right, this is always a fun one. Who on your team would you want to be stuck on a deserted island with, and who would you not want to be stranded with?
Let's see. Who I'd want to be stuck on an island with is probably either Josh Nadler or Colin Sawyer. Nods because he could come up with some algorithm that will get us out of this deserted island, because he's so smart. Soy's, you know, I think he's like me, where we're very outdoorsy and we could find our way to, you know, create a raft or something. Who I wouldn't want to be on the island with is Blisser, because he's probably scared of bugs and snakes and he's just like, I'm done. or Hawks, because him and I would end up just screaming at each other and one of us would just abandon the other one.
Love it. Awesome. Well, that is all we have today. We certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, busy week here, to come on and chat with everyone. And we wish you and the Walleye nothing but the best in the playoff run here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, again, thanks to Conlon Keenan with the Toledo Walleye for joining us today on our season finale episode of the ECHL Ice Level Podcast. It's been a fun season bringing you all of our different guests and news from around the league. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Don't forget to keep up to date on our website and on Flow Hockey throughout the Kelly Cup playoffs. Also on our social media at ECHL Hockey on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and at ECHL on X. Enjoy the last week in the regular season of the playoffs, everybody.